Hi everyone, welcome to Wednesday's morning briefing from the Celtic Way. I am Hamish and Tony is with me as well. Yes, we'll come to that in a wee second. This video is sponsored by MPH Group for all your plumbing, heating, kitchen and bathroom needs. You are back. So an enjoyable wee time of it away in Dublin.
It was great. I was saying to you off air that the reason I was going to see a band called the Sultans of Ping FC, for those who are familiar with them, and it was terrific. Really enjoyed it. So yeah, reliving my youth, my university days and all that, Hamish, you know, as you do. I can still pogo. I found that out about myself, so I was quite chuffed at
that. What is pogo?
You jump around, you know, you kind of jump. And
like you're on a pogo.
Like you're on a pogo stick, yeah. I can pogo with the best of them, so I was quite chuffed at that.
Fantastic. Were you pogoing on Sunday during the game? I kind of doubt it, because it wasn't that inspiring, was it?
I wasn't pogoing, but I never ever thought we were in any danger, to be fair.
Really?
Even when I went to 2-each and Hart had that save, I still thought Celtic would come good and score. And as it turned out,
so is that because we were playing Livingston, or is it that you have faith in this Celtic team?
I think it was probably because they were playing Livingston. But I did say, I think Livingston played as well as they could, and they scored two terrific goals. I know the defensive lapses, people talk about that, but the two players still had a lot to do before they put the ball in the net, and they put them away and executed them superbly well. So, and they played to their strength, and they actually came and had a go. So I don't think you can, you know, I thought it was a good old-fashioned Scottish Cup tie, Hamish, I have to say. You know, and everybody will, you know, pick holes in Celtic's defence and various things. I get all that, and it has to be better for the games coming up and the running. We get all that, but they won the game. They're in the semi-final to look forward to against Aberdeen. So, yeah, you take the good when they come along. I mean, it wasn't a vintage performance, but they did the job.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been following Celtic for, you know, many years between us, and obviously everyone else watching will be the same. And we've seen so many of those kind of performances, you know, especially in cup games, and it really is all about getting through. I guess the issue at the moment is that there's just so much kind of negativity around the entire club, and there has been all season, that when you get a performance like that, and again, it was quite uninspiring in terms of the performance level, it's kind of hard to shake that feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't particularly inspired by the performance, but it's just been the way, as you say, it's been the way of Celtic season, hasn't it? It's been really, really stop-start. And, you know, the one thing about it was that they're through to the next round. Hart had an important save for 3-2, didn't he? At 2-each when he saved with his foot. I liked what Kuhn did, but the first thing I said to my father when I came home is, it's all very well looking the part. Can you go and do something like that at Ibrox? That's when you're asking.
Or even this Saturday, back it up.
Yeah, you know, step up to the plate, do it again. You know, that's what Celtic need over the course of these 9 games, 10 games, semi-final as well, hopefully 11. You know, that's what they need. And a timely reminder from Kyogo, you put the ball in front of him, you'll score. And I like that. That was what pleased me most about Sunday, Kyogo's goal. I just thought it was a typical Kyogo goal through the middle. The ball was clean and he's away. And that's what he does. And I still pray that somehow Brendan Rodgers will play Ida and Kyogo up front. But I think my prayers are going to fall on deaf ears on that one, but I still hope that at some point they'll do that. Maybe Ibrox is the day to do that, Hamish. I don't know.
Oh, wow. I could see Kyogo starting on Saturday against St Johnstone. I said this earlier in the week, but I just sensed something has just changed there. I can't quite put my finger on what point it happened, but as I said, you know, it was a disappointing defeat at Tynecastle, but I thought Kyogo was really good when he came on, and I thought the way he took that chance on Sunday was, you know, really, I think you used the word clean there, it was a really clean finish, and like, that hasn't been the case a lot recently. I know he scored the odd goal, but they've kind of tended to be scrappy-ish finishes. I thought he really converted that well, so I'm hoping, personally, you know, nothing against Adam Ida, he's been brilliant so far, personally, I'm hoping Kyogo starts on Saturday and gets a few goals, because I've said it before, for me, that guy's good enough to take a struggling Celtic team to the league title. That's how good I think he is.
Yeah, that was vintage Kyogo on Sunday, the Kyogo that you're used to. When he ran through, you just had no doubt that he was going to score, and he put a bit of venom into the strike as well. I think there was a lot of frustration taken out on the ball when he scored, but in his facial expression said it all. He was absolutely delighted, because it was kind of, this is what I do, this is my currency, this is where I'm best, this is where I operate best. And so I think a lot of Celtic supporters were delighted to see that type of goal, Hamish, as you're talking about there. Yeah. That actual type of goal that it's still in his locker. He's never ever lost it, to be honest. It's just been a question of playing to his strengths this season more than anything else, which everybody would argue the toss that Celtic haven't under Rodgers. And I think that's fair comment, isn't it?
Yeah, no, 100%. Right, we move forward. Morning, everyone. Settling down. Northampton, Tim, Jerry, Thomas, Helen, Dennis, Ronald, another hard watch. Is that us, Ronald? Or are you referring to Celtic at the weekend? I wonder. I don't know if you put that in before we started talking about the game. Right, have I missed something here? Because all of you wonderful lot are talking about Liam Scales' contract. Now, I know there's talk about Liam Scales getting a new contract, but I almost sense as if, like, is a contract been announced or something? Because, like, virtually every comment is about Liam Scales deserving a contract. The contract news I want to start with is Daniel Kelly, because there was a report came out last night, you know, saying that Daniel Kelly's effectively close to signing a new deal with Celtic. He's actually out of contract at the end of this season, which I will admit I wasn't aware of, but it seems like Celtic are very much wanting to, you know, extend his deal and kind of keep him at the club and avoid, you know, having you know, another player snatched away from us, like has happened with numerous youngsters in recent years. Kelly, I think, reportedly is keen to stay with Celtic as well. So it seems like that's a matter of time. It's obviously good news. I'm not going to ask you that, Tony. But, I mean, what's the plan for Kelly, do you think, over the next, you know, 12 to 18 months?
I think the plan for the boy is to blood him in. I mean, he's had some cameo appearances, a wonderful goal against Dundee, but the manager speaks so highly of him, and he always talks about his attitude when he brings up Daniel Kelly. And, yeah, you know, for youngsters to have that dedication, that attitude, to be 100% spot on, it's very rare. And it's very rare that a manager actually mentions that. But Brendan Rodgers made a point of saying that he liked Daniel Kelly for that attribute alone, but he's got other attributes as well. And the best attribute that he has, him, he's just a very good footballer. You know, the glimpses that you've seen of him, you're very impressed, and he's holding his own in that company. And I'm not surprised that Celtic are going to sign him up, and he is keen to stay. So, you know, just get it done. No, even entertain the thought of him. I'm going elsewhere. I think the boy's genuinely committed to Celtic. So that's good news as well. So just get that deal done and let him just improve and develop and progress under the manager and progress his Celtic career to where he wants to take it. Because, you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on them. They have to develop at their own kind of pace. And, you know, there's always that temptation to label somebody the next big thing. I just want to see Daniel Kelly do what he does naturally and not put any kind of labels on him and say he's the next ever. He's Daniel Kelly. Let him make his own mark in that Celtic team.
Yeah, you literally have no idea how a player's going to do it at this stage. I mean, you only have to look at Callum McGregor. People, you know, he had that really bright, you know, start to his time at Celtic, and then he drifted away, and, you know, numerous people were writing him off, and he wasn't going to make it, and he's become, you know, one of the most influential players of the past decade, Callum McGregor. So you never know at what rate people are going to, you know, mature and all of that stuff. Kelly's obviously featured, you know, a little bit. He's not featured a lot, and it's only been fairly recently, and it has been at a time when Real Hitati's not been there. You know, Callum McGregor's kind of not been there. I know he replaced McGregor against Dundee when he scored. And generally, the midfield's not been great, so it's probably been easier to give him that opportunity, not to take anything away from what he's done. next season, you know, I know we probably don't want to look too far ahead generally, but with regards to Kelly, next season, you know, if McGregor is back, Hatate's, you know, back, and maybe a new signing's in there as well, does he play 10, 15, 20 matches next season? And if not, is it worth looking at a loan out for him to another Premiership team for a year?
That's the challenge. But I think having sampled it, now then, if the boy's attitude is the way Brendan Rodgers sees it is, he'll see himself playing 10, 15 matches. He'll certainly rise to that challenge. And yeah, when Hatate comes back, Celtic will be stronger, might even sign somebody else. Somebody might leave. But I think that's what the manager will be saying to him. Force yourself into that team. Force my hand. And we will take it from there. And I think the boy's got a level head on his shoulders, and he'll fancy that and fancy that challenge. You know, and it's no slight on him if he doesn't play 10 or 15 games next season. But having made that breakthrough, you want to continue that breakthrough and make sure that you're in those first team squads, and make sure that what you're doing in training is catching the manager's eye, and he's giving him that selection dilemmas where you say, do you know what, this boy's good to go. And the hardest part of him is just to get into that first team to make an impression. He's done the hard part. Now the harder part comes when you try to stay there and make sure you stay there and keep, you know, notable names out of the team if you can.
Yeah, and I was just thinking of two examples in my head there of midfielders who were given an opportunity and couldn't stay there for whatever reason. One of them's Ewan Henderson. Yep. And in fact, if you go further back, you could throw his brother in there as well, although he did play a bit more. And the other one would be Ben Summers. And I know Ben Summers is on loan this season at Dunfermline, I think. But those are two guys who, you know, got opportunities. You know, Ewan Henderson's a good few years ago now, but got opportunities and then just didn't really, either didn't do enough or, you know, a player was signed who kind of took their opportunity away. That's the issue I've got. My big thing is that he's too good for me to play with a Lowland in the Lowland League next year. I feel like he's all right. I mean, the guy scored a great goal for us in the Premiership. He's beyond that.
He's bypassed that big time, yeah. And if he's not going to feature as much, and that's apparent, then yeah, you would look at loaning him out to another Premiership club.
Because someone was saying the Championship there, but it would be Premiership for me.
It'd be Premiership for me as well. And obviously do the deal where he can't play against Celtic. But let him get used to every place that he's going to play in the future for Celtic, because he will come back a better player. You know, you'll have to look at the ones who have gone on loan and come back better. You know, everybody talks about Chris Faria, Ryan Christie, Liam Scales, that kind of thing. So if that's the case, because Celtic, I don't know if they undervalue the loan system, but they certainly underutilise it. And in a case like Kelly, then, if he's not going to play as many first-team games then, and that becomes apparent early on, then I would certainly look at loaning him out. I've got to be honest. And it would be to a club hopefully pushing for top six in the Premiership. That's what I would do with him.
I want there to be a plan for him, and I'm not suggesting there's not a plan. What I don't want is him just sticking around, you know, the fringes next year, not getting any game time, and then he's kind of lost a year of his career. You know what I mean? I want there to be a plan. I want them to sit down and say, look, either, you know, you're in our plans this season, you're going to play, you know, roughly X number of matches, you're going to start matches, not every match, but occasionally, or, you know, you're probably not, we're going to try and look at loaning you out. Like, I want there to be a plan. We got some comments in there. I enjoyed this. Great positivity, but yeah, you kind of have a point. Well, come on, lads, this young guy has as much chance as any other young guy at Celtic, almost none. We don't have a pathway for young players. We certainly haven't had many come through recently. You know, we could honestly spend 10 hours chatting about the reasons for that. I mean, one of the theories is that the pressure is just so much that we don't have games at Celtic where you can really throw in youngsters, because if things go wrong, there's always, you know, pressure coming back on the manager. But there must be an opportunity for guys like Kelly, and if there's not, continue their development with a view to getting them back.
I couldn't agree more about the plan. I mean, that has to be, and I think the way Brendan Rodgers speaks about them is he talks about them in glowing terms. So I think they've already started on that plan. First part of that plan is to sign them, get him tied down to a longer-term deal. and then take it from there. And there will be plans in progress, I think, because he rates them very, very highly, and he doesn't say that about a lot of youngsters. So I think you're right. If he doesn't play in the Celtic team, and it wouldn't surprise me if he did, I have to say. So he's impressed in the small parts that he's played, and he'll only want to feature more in the first team. The risk attachment to that is, if it goes wrong, then obviously the manager gets it. But I think he's a kind of player that the manager would hang his hat on and say, you know what? And he don't think he'd have a problem in playing him, let's put it that way, because he trusts him. So, and I think when you get to that stage, then I think you're going to be more than a bit part player. But again, when the new season starts, it's all kind of slate wipe clean and all that kind of stuff, isn't it? And then you take it again. And again, if he's not, I don't want to see him in squads, as you say, and just warming the bench. If that happens, then that's no use to anybody, because this is a player who you need to develop. And the only way he's going to develop is by playing football matches in the Scottish Premiership, whether that be for Celtic or on loan somewhere else, then so be it. But I think Kelly's one that Celtic have to really be conscious of on what they're going to do with him.
Yes, Daniel Kelly said to be close to a new Celtic contract, one to keep an eye on. Buzzlop saying, Kelly looks exciting. I'm always impressed when a young midfielder gets a start. Always a football player if you're rated in midfield. Hazel bringing up Mitchell Frame as another one we should try to keep and develop. Like the look of him, again, he's what played one game, but I'd say he looked decent enough. Chilpill pondering what's the situation there. He's in a bit of a weird position at the moment. Well, not weird in any way, to be honest. He's just not in a great position. He's third choice striker. He's probably not going to get much game time between now and the end of the season. I've made my thoughts clear. I think there is a player there. The issue with being the third striker is you probably could do with a third striker in case, you know, some sort of injury crisis happens. Well, you literally only need one player injured, don't you, to probably need your third striker in some capacity. But being third striker when you only play one striker per game means that you're probably not going to get much action. Yeah. So O's in that. I'm trying to think, you know, maybe Odson Edward first season kind of position, although yeah, Odson Edward got some game time at that stage. Maybe he's a Lee Griffiths.
Well, I think O's in Celtic limbo, isn't he? You know, the manager is going to play either Ida or Kyogo in an in-game stretch, isn't he? Unless either or get injured, touch wood, because in the way Celtic's season going, you just don't want to say too much, do you, about injuries, because it's been a horrendous injury list that Celtic have had to contend with all season. So, but yeah, I think it's fair to say that Ida or Kyogo will be the main man in these 9-10 games coming up in the league and the Scottish Cup. And you're just going to have to, you know, swallow it basically and bite it and know that there's not a lot he can do. I mean, all he can do is perform to the best of his ability in training, but he's clearly the manager's clearly got a plan in his head, but if it's not Kyogo, it's Ida and vice versa.
I think there's something there with O. He's done too much for us so far. He's scored too many goals, you know, for the amount of game time he's had, for there not to be something there. But yeah, I do agree that he's third choice at the moment. Thomas bringing up the fact that Greg Taylor and Anthony Ralston have been called up for Scotland. No Callum McGregor as expected in that squad, I believe. What else have we got? Matt O'Reilly didn't make the Denmark squad. Alistair Johnson did make the Canada squad. Lewis Palma made the Honduras squad, and there were some quotes from a figure at the Honduran FA saying that basically Palma's injury is a small one and he should be available for their matches. The chat is that he'll miss this weekend though, although he's not really been playing for us anyway, so it's arguably not a huge loss. More opportunity for the likes of Kuhn perhaps to play. What about this from Brian? Do you think Scales dipping form is due to his contract mess? Is it a mess, Brian? Do you know something that we don't?
Justin, I think he's had that purple patch, and he was the kind of glue that was holding the Celtic defence together. But it's now we've spoken about this before, there are deficiencies in his game, and they have been, they've been ruthlessly exposed at times. And whilst he did enough to earn a new contract, I still say, moving forward, if Celtic can get Cameron Carter's fully fit, Cameron Carter-Vickers fully fit, and sign another defender, I wouldn't put it past Gustav Lagerbielka to feature in this running.
Did you see his comments?
I did, yes, which is why I brought it up. Because what I did like about his comments were that he still said that there's a League and Cup double to be won, and he will give his all if asked to step into the breach. And I think he might be asked to, because I think there was enough warning signs on Sunday to say that, a central defensive partnership of Welsh and Scales is not going to cut it at Ibrox. So I think Gustav, I think he's got the tracksuit on, he's doing the limbering up and stretching in front of the manager, and could well be his time to sort of turn to him and say, right, okay, I know you might see your future elsewhere, but I'm going to have to, I need a turn out of here. You're going to have to perform, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him, Hamish, sooner rather than later.
Nothing against the Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales, but if that's the starting partnership at Ibrox, I would say we're in a fair bit of trouble. I'm well aware, the last time we won at Ibrox with Scales and Lagerbielka, and Lagerbielka did struggle that day. I don't think we'll see much of Lagerbielka. I just don't think Brendan Rodgers fancies him, Tony.
No, I don't think he fancies him, but I think there was enough alarm bells on Sunday, wasn't there, for lots of Celtic supporters not to fancy the central defensive partnership that they had there. And you've got the biggest game of the season looming large, and if Cameron Carter-Vickers is not going to be there, then he's going to have to do something. And I think, I think Gustav Lagerbielka has been fairly professional throughout all this. And so you say to him, look, I know we've not seen that yet, I know, things have been said or whatever, but, I need you to be the consummate professional here and help us. You're going to have to play your part. And I think Gustav Lagerbielka would relish the chance to do it. I think he wants game time. He is a Swedish international defender. Let's not. And for whatever reason, he's not covered himself in glory at Celtic, and for whatever reason, Brendan Rodgers just doesn't seem to rate him or fancy him. That's fine, that happens, but it's one man's opinion, and you can change that if you get the nod. And if you get the nod now, then you're going to have to, step up to the plate, because these are crucial games and vital games. And I just think that it's the, if you send a defence out with Scales and Welsh at Ibrox, I think that gives your opposition a boost more than anything else. I think they'll try and terrorise you in that sense if that happens. And I know Celtic sent out Scales and Lagerbielka at Ibrox the first time, and everybody feared the worst. And it was other players that stepped up. Well, Scales stepped up to play. Callum McGregor stepped up to play Kyogo, so fine. But I just think that's a major concern for me if you're going to go to Ibrox with those two. It's a worry. And I'm hoping on Friday there's better news on Cameron Carter-Vickers, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's huge. Like, the Carter-Vickers stuff is massive. I'm aware we've beaten Rangers twice this season without him, but I almost can't comprehend a world where we go to Ibrox without Carter-Vickers. I think, for a third match, that'd be very difficult. I mean, Rangers, we were brilliant at Ibrox when we won. Let's not forget they cut us open in that first half a good few times, and we looked quite fragile. Yeah. We possibly got away with one with the Lagerbielka free kick, and they also had the offside goal after a minute. So I don't know if we'd get away with it again with Welsh and Scales. I think something has to be done. I don't know if Narotsky, do you know anything about him when he's possibly back?
No, I mean, I would imagine the manager would address all that this Friday, but I think the one they'd probably turn to would be Lagerbielka. And I think that if you've got him in mind for Ibrox at all, he has to play on Saturday, doesn't he?
I just don't.
I know you don't see him, but Correct, but you don't have to like.
I would agree with that. Yeah, you probably have to. You have to get him games. You can't throw him in.
Yeah, you couldn't throw him in. Yeah. You know,
which goes for anyone, really. Probably apart from Carter Vickers, he's the only one. And McGregor, you could probably throw them in because they're good enough. But anyone else, Hatate, someone like that, you're probably needing to give them games.
And I think there was enough alarm bells rung on Sunday against Livingston to say, okay, because Rangers have got some big guys up front, haven't they? And they could give you problems.
They're all hopeless.
Yeah, you know. So that's your issue, isn't it? And it's easy to say, right, Celtic play St Johnstone Saturday one game at a time, but you can bet your bottom dollar that the manager will be working on something for the Rangers game and telling his players, this is how we're going to play at Ibrox. Because you can't just do that a couple of days before. You have to plan that meticulously. So I also think they'll be working on shape and stuff for Ibrox, so it wouldn't surprise me if he has something up his sleeve, or he's certainly working on some kind of formation to do a number on Rangers again.
Yep. Huge games coming up for us. We know that. For me this weekend, you know, if we're without Carter Vickers and McGregor, it's a case of just finding a way to get through this match. Yeah. We're kind of limping at the moment. It's finding a way to win it. Yes, an amazing performance would be, you know, amazing and would give us all a huge boost. And it's still what I want to see, but just win this Saturday. Get us through the international break, a bit of respite. Give us 2 weeks to get, you know, McGregor, Carter Vickers, Hitati closer to a return if possible. And, you know, then at that point, we go for the final chunk of the season. Blake wondering about any news on the Champions League draw. I don't know if you saw this, Tony, but I think they're going to do a hybrid system, whatever that means, because apparently if they do it manually, it could take 3 to 4 hours to do the Champions League draw.
I thought it did anyway. Usually it feels like it, doesn't it? One of my dogs isn't too happy at the Champions League draw either, there you go.
Yeah, I think they from memory in the group stage, they whip a ball, they take a ball out, ball with the team on it, and then the computer, I think, on the screen, you know, shows them what potential groups they can put in. So it is kind of computerised to an extent, but they still actually draw everything manually in terms of, like, the group teams go into the computer, just aids them, whereas I think they seem to be talking about some sort of system that would, as I say, be a hybrid of pulling the balls out, but also, sorting the fixtures or whatever on a computer. The thing I don't get is, without getting too, you know, into it, I think there's going to be 4 pots of 9 teams in this new system, and they're effectively still going to draw groups in a weird way because you still only play a certain number of teams. So you're almost in like a group of 8. I don't understand why they couldn't still do that manually or find a way to do part of it manually and then replicate that throughout the draw. I don't really get it, to be honest. I'm kind of confusing myself even speaking about it, but
I mean, it's as you say, you lose the will to live even going through the actual rudiments of it, don't you? And if you ever can find a way of making rickets of it, they'll find it, you know. So it's as you say, some kind of hybrid that's going to not take them 4 hours, but explaining it there almost took 4 hours, didn't it? And I get that it's complicated, and I get that you can't have teams from the same nation playing and all that, but do you know what? I'd rather just went back to, you know, reverse all that guff, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You draw who you draw. You know, and I know it's not a round robin and it's knockout, but see if you're going to revamp the competition, then do it in a way that, fine, that's it. I mean, 3 and 4 teams from the same leagues, but see if they draw each other, so be it.
I agree.
I want it to go back to the ethos of the competition that Celtic won in 67. You know, if Real Madrid drew Bayern Munich or Inter Milan in the first round, so be it. It's like, you know, who cares, right? One big gun goes out. You know, I mean, when Nottingham Forest won it, they they played Liverpool, didn't they, in the first round, I believe.
Yeah. You know, so, I was watching the last 16 games, and fair enough, you know, Arsenal was kind of dramatic last night, but generally it's been like quite a kind of dull last 16. It's almost as if the Champions League doesn't kick in, you know, properly for the big teams until the quarterfinals in terms of that jeopardy. So UEFA should be trying to get, you know, any team facing anyone early on. And I know they're kind of doing that, but they're still avoiding countries from the teams for the same country.
What do you notice about the eight teams that are in the quarterfinal of the Champions League? They're all cash rich, aren't they?
And they're the same every year.
Yeah, you could just go cash rich team one, cash rich team two, cash rich team three. You know, there's no real surprises there. There's no Cinderella story there, is there? You just think to yourself, well, and you look at it every year, and before the tournament even starts, you've got a good chance, Hamish, that you could have picked at least five or six of that eight in the quarterfinal. Couldn't you?
Yeah, 100%. That's what I mean. The competition almost for the big teams doesn't properly kick in until the last eight. And UEFA need to find a way to make that exciting, make it a way where the big teams can actually go out early on, because it just doesn't happen the way it is at the moment. Anyway, will that be our problem next year in the Champions League or not? We'll have to wait and see. A reminder, if we don't win the league, we'll still go into the Champions League. But in third qualifying rounds, so we'd much rather win the league, obviously, the most obvious statement that's ever been said on a Celtic YouTube channel. Anything else, Tony, before we head off?
No, I think we've covered it extensively. We have St Johnstone to look forward to. We'll preview that in the coming days, but it'd be good to see Daniel Kelly sign a new deal. Lewis Palmer's going to play, isn't he, for
Honduras.
Yes, Honduras, yeah. Well, he certainly travelled, and they reckon it's a minor injury, isn't it? So nothing that will prevent him from turning out for his... but I'm sure they'll be keeping in close tabs with Celtic to make sure he doesn't do anything untoward. So, that's fair enough. And, you probably covered a lot on Monday and Tuesday, but was impressed enough with Kuhn. I just need to see him build on that. He's given himself a platform now upon which to build. And, no possible good news in the offing with the return of the likes of Itati and McGregor coming back and Cameron Carter-Vickers. So, we'll see what the manager says about that on Friday. So, hopefully, more good news.
Great stuff. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in once again. Have a lovely Wednesday, and we'll be back tomorrow. This video has been sponsored by MPH Group for your plumbing, heating, kitchens and bathroom needs. Thanks, everyone. Speak to you soon.